This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, hello.
Kia ora, everyone.
Christmas time? We didn't do a Christmas special
Christmas
this year.
Time. No, I haven't read any Christmas-themed books this year.
Neither. Like, last year I think we brought in a few Christmas tunes, didn't we? I found them on my iPhone.
Yes, we did.
And I was like, oh, yeah, Christmas tunes.
Well, we didn't do it this time,
quirky,
so...
Christmas tunes, quirky, yeah. Christmas. Yeah, I guess, so this time we're just going to have a broad chat about summer reads.
Which is a broad category, because a summer read can really be whatever... You want it to be.
Yeah, I kind of think summer read, for me anyway, is like something I can chuck in my bag and pick up and put down without having to like really invest.
Yeah.
Like long chapters, can't do a long chapter.
Same for me, and I think for, well, definitely like the marketing community, it would be like a romance or
crazy,
a crime novel.
Crazy crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've bought in Ingrid Horrocks' All Her Lives, which was published in October this year. She's a New Zealand writer. I think she's based up in Wellington. So this is a part memoir, part travel and nature writing, nonfiction book. And it's in 9 parts. It's a book about being a daughter, sister, partner, mother, and above all, being human being living among other animals on this watery planet we share. That's a direct quote from their website, sorry. Some of the threads of her nonfiction interests are visible in the 9 stories here, arranged into a sequence of ideas and history that become increasingly cohesive. They all kind of like interlinked. The first story is set in 1919 after the war and epidemic, and it's about like a young woman coming back to New Zealand to stay with her brother and her brother's new wife. And that sort of like, I've been living overseas, coming back after seeing most likely horrendous things and assimilating back in. So it's just like a little, yeah, they're all little short stories, not essays, sorry. and then, yeah, along the way, the stories take in major events and issues, and such as like Plunkett, eugenics, the 1981 Springbok tour, and anti-nuclear protests. Feminism, activism, and idealism in narratives constructed with deliberation, passion, and varying degrees of subtlety. I think it's important to be writing about women's lives, but I did question whether the author was adding anything new to the conversation here, particularly her story that's like based in Berlin about this hetero couple that live long distance from each other. Like she's in New Zealand. No, he's a New Zealander. And she's American and they're having this long distance thing and then they want to open up their relationship. I just thought it fell a bit short and just seemed a little bit cliche for me about people being like sexually liberated in Berlin. But yeah, the spin-off has likened this collection to Elizabeth Strout's Olive Kitteridge, the character from that. So if you're a fan of Elizabeth Strout, then... this book is definitely for you.
Okay. I haven't read it either.
But it's got a really beautiful cover.
It does
sure
have a good cover.
Is.
Yeah, I think it was a Otago University Press publication as well.
Ah. So no, was it? I thought it was Wellington. She's won a lot of awards as well and like residencies.
Mm. I might be wrong.
I thought
published
it was.
In New Zealand.
It's definitely published in New Zealand.
Let's throw that net widely.
Who have you bought it?
So I've gone on a real crime theme today. The first one I'm talking about is called King of Ashes by S.A. Cosby, he's published 5 crime novels now. He's an American author. And they're sort of all under the genre of what is called Southern Noir. And I've read 2 of his other novels, one Razorblade Tears and I think his one before this called All the Sinners Bleed. and they slap. Like, he is such a good writer. Like, probably one of my favourite crime writers. It's not a genre I read a lot of, but, like, he writes a powerful, intense, and, like, you're just, like, sad the whole way through. Like, I want to get to the end, like, not in a, like, I want to get to the end way. Like, it's boring, but, like, what the hell's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And, yeah, this one didn't disappoint either. I had very high expectations. I was like, and, yeah, they were met. So it centres around three estranged siblings that sort of get pulled back into each other's orbit when their father, who's the owner of the family crematorium, is left in a coma after a mysterious attack. Roman, who's the eldest and has long abandoned his southern hometown and the painful memories there for a very sleek life in Atlanta as a financial consultant to the wealthy elite. But then duty and damage bring him home. And what he finds is his family is really on the verge of collapse. His sister, Nevaeh, is carrying the emotional and financial weight of the family business. And she's really understandably exhausted and bitter about that. And his brother, Dante, is spiraling into a drug-fueled abyss with a debt to terrifying crime lords, the Gilchrist brothers, that threatens to swallow them all.
Sorry, did you say his name is Dante?
Dante,
right, so no wonder he's...
yeah, he's spiraling down.
Down to the depths.
So, yeah, you're sort of following along on the choices Roman has to make that are really morally corrosive and complex. Like, he's coming in to protect his family, but as always in Cosby's hands, that's never, like, a clean or noble thing. He always has these characters making, you know, protecting the ones they love or, like, getting redemption for the ones people they love, but it's never clean. It's always... you know, morally messy, to phrase it lightly. And it's sort of the question of, can you save your family without destroying yourself? And what even is a hero in this sort of environment? But yeah, this is a really fast-paced, gripping, relentless and ruthless book. Definitely ruthless is a very good word to describe it. I really love, like, the family saga energy, and you see Roman's character getting more and more comfortable with going to any lengths to protect his family. So it's sort of this journey into hell, really. It's very, very Shakespearean, I think. Yeah, I saw someone describe it as like a Ryan Coogler, like directed by Ryan Coogler and written by the Ghosts of a Creek tragedy, which I really liked.
Okay. and is it a standalone? It's not part of a series?
Yeah, it's a standalone. Yeah. All of his books are... yeah, and also, like, yeah, the characters are all so good. His characters are always so good. And the villains are so, like, they're awful, but, like, the Gilchrist brothers are two of the most chilling and sadistic antagonists I've encountered in fiction for years. Like, their cruelty is really precise and terrifying. Like, they're not this cartoonish character. They're just, like, oh, they're just awful, which really adds to the... yeah, their presence in the book is really is scary and, like, just adds to the intensity as you read it.
Mm. Intriguing.
Yeah.
That makes me kind of almost want to read it, even though I don't usually, well, yeah, I don't read.
I think this is a good one. I mean, it is pretty, like, it's really intense. And
for people who don't read crime, would you recommend it?
I would recommend it. I think it would appeal to a broad range of people, and his writing is excellent.
I like that it's Southern Gothic.
Yeah, and vibes. I find there's a depth to his writing that isn't there in a lot of crime novels, and themes and things. And he's writing about black characters in Southern America, which, yeah, always comes into his novels in, like, a really interesting way. So, yeah, right. I really love this one, and I think it's a good page-turner read. If you're ready, I did, like, be prepared to feel a bit, like, hollowed out at the end, because I definitely did.
Okay.
I had to sit silently for a while, and, like, I'm drained.
So maybe it is, like, a beach read, and then you, like, dive into the water.
Into the cool water.
Let it wash off. yeah, I've brought in Tina Macaretti. This compulsion in us. So she wrote The Myers, which I haven't actually read yet, but we have it at the library.
I've read it, I think. I might have done
it. I feel like you might have done.
I can't remember.
Yeah. So this is her first collection of creative nonfiction essays, some of which have previously been published and then re-edited for this book. And yeah, I have to say, wow, what a special book. I haven't finished reading it, I have to say, but immediately you're invited straight into her intimate thoughts and life. She's taken herself away to do a writer's residency on her own. I think it's around the time of the pandemic. So that's the first essay. So she invites the reader into her life as wahine Māori, teacher, daughter, traveller, parent, and into a past that is alive and changeful as the present moment. Her writing is skilled yet poignant navigation of the choppy dark seas of identity, loss, and searching. It's a compelling read, a provocative mix of notable essays that consider what writers do and what she does, blended with sections of refined and reflective memoir. They're coloured by sharply unconventional upbringing, her reconnecting with her Māori mother and her beloved grandmother at 16, and her life as a young mother living overseas. She is guided by ghosts, inspired by memories, and affirmed by tapuna, by an ancestral presence that consistently reinforces her creative work. Her fiction sings with their voices. So that's a quote from her website, because as I said, I haven't read the whole thing, but yeah, already I was started it, and then I was like, oh, I want to give this to this person and this person. Yeah, I think it would make an amazing Christmas present. And yeah, really good thing to read whilst you're on holiday, because it's, yeah, the short essay form. But yeah, it's really it's really inclusive and invites you in.
Yeah, I can't wait to read that one. I've been meaning to for ages, because as you're saying, it's one you want to buy to give to other people.
Yeah.
I found that a lot in the bookshop. People would come in.
Oh, to buy it for people.
And people would buy, multiple copies. Like, I'm giving this to my aunt or my cousin. Yeah. Like, I just really want, it was like, seemed to want, people wanted to share it, which
I got recommended.
Always such
it.
High praise for a novel.
Absolutely.
A book.
I got recommended it by Lindley Edmonds. She was saying how wonderful that Tina Makariti is at nonfiction writing. Mm. Or creative nonfiction. Yeah, which is, yeah, a really so much different, because it's personal and, full of facts as well.
My favourite genre.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's a good one.
Yeah, and I did love The Myers as well.
Yeah, I need to get to that one.
I feel like you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I've actually own it at home as well.
Huh, there you go. So my second book was also a kind of a crime novel. It's called Strange Pictures by Uketsu. You might have seen or heard it. It's real.
They already
hit.
Have their Strange Houses, which is the second one.
Yeah. And it was translated by Jim Rion. I wasn't really sure how to blurb this, so I've stolen the blurb from the publisher. So I'll read it out dramatically. An exploration of the macabre, where the seemingly mundane takes on terrifying significance. A pregnant woman's sketches on a seemingly innocuous blog conceal a chilling warning. A child's picture of his home contains a dark secret message. A sketch made by a murder victim in his final moments leads an amateur sleuth down a rabbit hole that would reveal a horrifying reality. Structured around these 9 childlike drawings, each holding a disturbing clue, Uketsu invites readers to piece together the mystery behind each and the overarching backstory that connects them all. And scene. So I didn't like this book at all. And it actually confuses me how big of a hit it is.
Do you think because it's more visual?
Like, I think that is a big part of it, that it's like, I don't know if gimmicky is the right word, but I do feel like maybe that's
stocking filler.
What a lot of people like about it. Like it is fun. I think the concept is really fun, and it could be great, but I thought this was pretty rubbish.
The text isn't, I've read the second book by him, Houses, well, just the first segment, and the text, and as you were saying, whether it's the translation.
Yeah, and I thought about that, and I feel like it does a disservice. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's like, this is, I found the writing really flat and direct, and simplistic. And a lot of the things I was reading, people are like, oh, that's just sort of the style of Japanese writing. And I really disagree with that because I think a lot of Japanese fiction is like a bit more sparse and direct, but it's still,
has some depth.
It still has depth to it. And it's, you know, it's well written. So I think saying that is doing a huge disservice to Japanese fiction.
So maybe it's just like it's oversimplifying because it's wanting the focus to be on the visual.
I think
the reader's interaction with looking at the image.
Yeah, the whole thing I felt when I was reading it was that I was reading like a creepypasta. Do you know what those are?
Oh, like, no. Oh, with the ghosts and the pasta? No.
I'm thinking really alphabet soup. I'm intrigued at what you mean.
I'm like, alphabet soup.
So creepypastas are like, it's like on forums and like I think it's on Reddit as well, where it's like they're this... someone will write like a short scary story and post it online, and to be honest, some of those were much more well written than this book, I have to say. But that was like all I could think of was just this like sort of quick little spooky story designed to be like make you be like ooh, that's not particularly well written.
Why do you think it was so popular? Like it's just been marketed in a really clever way.
I think that's probably part of it. Like the writer is quite intriguing. Like they they never reveal like their face, so any appearances is hidden behind this like white paper mache mask and wears like a full black bodysuit and modulates the voice to sound like a little girl's.
Wow. Okay, that's very bizarre.
Yeah, so and then Ketsu is a made up name that means rain hole, and they first gained fame posting surreal videos on YouTube, like clips of asparagus that turns into fingers when chopped, strips of meat pegged out on a washing line, and 8 ears spinning on a wheel. So there's like they've got hype and like internet hype. So I think that's where a lot of this comes from. And then I do think the concept is probably really intriguing. And a lot of people love this book, so that's why I was confused.
I've had people say that they really like it.
And
maybe
I think
it's a younger audience.
Maybe. It's like it's meant to be this whole mystery, but it felt like there was no mystery involved. Like the author really just hands you everything on a silver platter and not just hands it to you, then like shoves it down your throat. So you're like, do you understand what all of this means? Which I hate. I'm like, please, like, treat me with a bit of respect as a reader that I can put two and two together.
Yeah.
Especially when you're laying it out like so obviously.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And then
how long did it take you to read it? Because they're really quite short.
I read it in like an afternoon.
Yeah.
Like a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Maybe even
never get those hours back.
I know. I was like, yeah, I was disappointed because I was like, this could have been so cool. I really love the idea of having, I love books where there's like multimedia stuff in it, like when they drag in pictures and, you know, all that sort of thing. But this, I don't understand. I don't understand how people like it. I mean, I'm happy if you do. Like, I wish that I felt that way. But I wouldn't recommend it, but maybe one to give a go yourself and see how you feel.
So that's where, what is?
It's called Strange Pictures. And there's also Strange Houses, which is pretty much the same thing, but slightly different story, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's the one I've read. Well, the first first few pages of it. The first story of it, yeah.
Yeah, and if you know me in real life or don't, you can talk to me about it because I'm intrigued as to what other people think of this.
Oh, cool. So I really enjoyed reading Miranda July's All Fours and then saw her book First Bad Man, which is her debut novel written in 2015. So I have picked that up and I'm reading that at the moment. And it's so cringy and wonderful. And she's just such a freak, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. I read that when it came out and I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I've read, I think, her short story collection, but I haven't read this one. Anyway, so yeah, it's about this woman called Cheryl Glickman. She's a quirky, peculiar woman who works at a business with peculiar customs. I think it's like it used to be a company that taught women how to do self-defense, but now they make exercise videos with self-defense videos. Like, really quite weird. She finds herself with this house guest who's her boss's daughter, but the daughter's like 20 and she's just moved to LA and is hoping to become an actress, but I think that's just what her parents are saying. She's like this really aggressive, full-on woman that is sort of stereotypically pretty as well. Like if they go to the supermarket, like all the men are checking her out and this sort of stuff. And yeah, so Cheryl's got this mad crush on this man who's like 20 years older than her. But yeah, it's just full of wonderful lines and you're like, why are you doing that? And like just sort of so inside this woman's head and how strange it is, but believable as well. Yeah, I it's a really enjoyable work. I definitely recommend it. Yeah, it's just very odd. If you like Miranda July and enjoyed, All Fours. I think All Fours, it's quite interesting to see how much more sophisticated that is, whereas this is very still embedded in the quirkiness. And it was written after because, you know, she wrote that film Me, You and Everyone, is it? Something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, she was sort of known for her films before her books. But yeah, she wrote that other one, the Kajillionaire.
Oh, I love that movie.
Also really recommend.
Also a freaky little weird movie.
Yeah, so it's like the character's really unlikable and you're like, oh, come on, would she really be? But yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what happens and where it goes. So she has this crush. It's like, and this guy rings her off and he's like, I've got to confess something to you. And I mean, it's a little bit off the wall. But yeah, definitely recommend.
I need to reread it. So when it came out, I was early 20s.
Okay.
And I remember reading and being like, I'm better than everyone because I'm reading Miranda July, like displaying the book cover.
Yeah, it got a lot of, I think it was like, you know, New York Times bestseller and all this sort of stuff. But it's just a really nice to read something that's not really asking for much. Yeah, so it's like quite a light read and it's humorous. But other books, other summer reads I'm looking forward to reading. I'm sort of going back in time with authors, is Percival Everett, who wrote James. I've just got his book, Telephone, for the Athenaeum Library.
I saw you got that. I'm going to come and get that.
Yeah, I really love his writing. I've read the other one. I think it's Trees.
Yes, yeah.
That's sort of a detective type crime.
That's
noir.
So good.
And then Patricia Lockwood's new one, Will There Ever Be Another You?
Another one I'm very excited to read. Yeah. I loved, Mind Blank, what was her last?
Everyone Talking About
Something. Yes, everyone's about talking about something.
So everyone's just talking about it. I haven't engaged with her work yet, and I was like, okay, she's written a few now. I'll read her latest and see.
Yeah, I'd definitely recommend her like memoir, Pre-Steady. It's so good, funny, and like she's such a clever writer. I've liked her since she used to write a lot for The Toast, which I think I talked about in another episode, but like a really great literary online publication.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I feel like you'll probably like Pre-Steady. And I loved whatever the first novel was called, Everyone...
Why is everyone talking about this?
Yeah, I love that book. I should remember its name because it's like one of the better books I've ever read. But it was quite divisive of people being like, I hated this because it is this. The first half's quite like, I don't know, conceptual in a way, and then the second half is like really devastating.
I think people I've come across either really love Patricia Lockwood or they're not a fan.
Mm.
I'm wondering if I'm going to be the latter because I don't like Sally Rooney. I don't know if you'd like pair them together, but I feel like they're targeting the same sort of market.
I'm not sure about you liking her fiction. I'd be intrigued to see. I feel like you probably will like her nonfiction.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
A summer challenge. I've also, we've brought in Han Kang's We Do Not Part.
That sounds quite heavy. If you're ready for a heavy read on the beach.
Well, that probably would be quite a heavy read, and it's a hardback edition, actually, we've got. But I really enjoyed The Vegetarian, which was pretty intense.
I have heard really good things about We Do Not Part.
Yeah.
But, a lot of people being like, you know, read it when you're in a good Go to his face.
Yeah. Okay, well, Summer. And the other one is Charlotte Wurz. So she's an Australian writer, and I haven't read anything by her yet, but Stoneyard Devotional was on the, I think it was the Guardian's, like, one of the best books list of 2025. And I've heard really good things about
it. It came out last year. Maybe it got published.
Okay. I saw it on, like, a best list.
I think
list.
Maybe it got published maybe in the UK. This isn't important. Okay. I was just confused when I saw it.
But she's, yeah, I've had a lot of people say that she's really amazing. So, yeah, another good.
That's really, I don't remember where I saw that.
I think it's a bit heavy as
Is
well.
Is it about nuns?
I think it's like a woman who goes and lives in rural Australia on her own to escape things.
Yeah, I've heard very good things. I think it came up, I don't know if it has anything to do with this at all, but I've gone down a real nun rabbit hole lately, because this thing came up on my Instagram that was like from a bookshop. Now that we have enough books about nuns that we've started a section. So that's really
cool.
And I feel like that one came up, but maybe it was tangentially
maybe it's
related
another
to
one
another
of
one.
Hers. Yeah, she has got quite a few.
Yeah.
We've run out of time, and I hope everyone has a relaxing holiday.
Yeah, dive into some nice cool water after you read a harrowing novel.
Exactly. And we'll see you back here next year.
See you on the other side.
Books Uncovered, exciting conversations about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.